You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome in to a Tuesday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. I'm your host tonight, Tony East, and we're going to recap the Pacers 102-111 loss. I was trying to say Washington Wizards, and I said loss instead of loss. Loss to the Washington Wizards at home without two starters. And to do that with me, the, I don't know what it's called. Is it site expert at SB Nation, or is it just head editor? What do they call you?
Site manager, which is like, it's like a construction thing or something, but I'll take it.
The site manager of the Under Construction Bullets Forever, Jake/Jack Whitaker.
Howdy.
How are you?
Doing all right. Kind of, you know, it's one of those things, a five-game win streak is always nice, but, you know, when it's kind of like doused in hot takes about John Wall, it kind of makes things interesting, but, you know, living through it.
You know, a 6'6 backup point guard who doesn't turn the ball over and only shoots three times and makes two of them is a pretty good backup to have.
Yeah, he's quickly becoming the Nick Foles of basketball.
For those of you that did not watch, Thomas Satoransky started a point guard for the Wizards, and the Pacers broadcast team called him a small forward because he's very big and tall for his position. And he looked huge guarding Joe Young and Corey Joseph. He was 2 of 3, didn't turn the ball over. Did a nice job in John Wall's stead, which has been the story for the Wizards recently, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's something, you know, the Wizards definitely aren't better without John Wall, but I think, you know, Satoransky has been what they needed at this exact moment. You know, Wall has been playing through a lot injury-wise all season. It's affected his defense. It's affected how the team has gotten out in transition, even at points. And I think you're just kind of having more of a steady hand who's a lot more versatile defensively when healthy. You know, I think has made a big difference, and just kind of the jump start that the rest of the team has gotten, you know, knowing that they need to produce now to avoid, you know, falling to, you know, being like a bottom three playoff team, you know, and potentially facing like a Boston or Toronto in the first round. I think, you know, all those factors have kind of combined together. But yeah, kudos to Satoransky. He's definitely taken advantage of this opportunity. And, you know, even when Wall comes back, I think there's definitely a case to be made. They need to find a way to utilize him more to spell Wall and Beal to keep them fresh for whatever playoff run is to come.
Yeah, they looked solid tonight, so I expected good playoff run for them. And like you wrote in the game preview for Bullets Forever, they're now third in the East with 31 wins. So, you know, the Cavs haven't played as many games, and you have the Bucks. So those teams still have better win percentages, I think. No, maybe not the Bucks, but have less wins. So that's cool for the Wizards. And, you know, without Wall, I kind of thought that this is an interesting game for a theory that I believed in, and it felt to be the truth in this one. Without Wall, I thought the three-point shooting would suffer because they would have their best creator not playing as much, and they were 28% from three today. But the story for them was they were 38 of 57 inside the arc, 66%, two-thirds of their makes. That is just unbelievable.
Yeah, it helps when Jan Mahimi is crushing dunks instead of trying to do reverse layups. It makes a difference. And, you know, it's something, even though the three-point shooting's been off, you know, Bradley Beal has just gotten really good at utilizing that step-back jumper to create space that, you know, otherwise wouldn't be there. And I think that's really helped kind of open things up, even though it's kind of like opening things up in the paint and in the mid-range. It's been enough to get by.
Yeah, and it worked today, and obviously I haven't touched on it yet, but without Oladipo, who's been the best, probably the best wing defender for the Pacers, and Collison, Lance Stephenson and Corey Joseph had to play 35-plus minutes in the rotation, and Joe Young had to play 27 minutes, and we'll get to Joe Young later because he actually had a really nice offensive game, but Joe Young cannot guard anybody, and he had a few possessions on Beal, and they ended how you would expect.
Yes.
But I guess we do have to talk about Joe Young because he actually played awesome on offense, and his family and friends were sitting behind me and were very excited every time he would score. That's not necessarily a good thing, by the way, but overly excited. But congratulations to Joe Young for having a good game. 6-10 from the field, 5-8 from deep. He had a funny pull-up on a 1-on-4 in transition and missed it, which was his worst play of the game. But 17 points actually was probably, even though he's minus two, is probably the reason that the Pacers didn't get blown out, because their guard rotation was so short. You know, Ben Moore was their backup three. But how was Joe Young able to be so effective against the likes of, you know, Satoransky, who's a lot longer than him, and some of the better defensive guards on the Wizards?
Well, I mean, I think a big part of it is there's just such a downgrade when you go from Satoransky to Frazier. Whereas Satoransky can guard three positions, Frazier can maybe guard half a position on a good day. So, you know, not to take anything away from Joe Young, he had a really nice game and, you know, was able to get some nice elevation and do what he does. But, you know, when you're going up against Frazier a bit, that helps. And, you know, Jody Meeks isn't exactly a defensive stalwart either. So, you know, I think that played a big part in things. And, you know, but also, you know, Washington doesn't, other than Beal, they don't have a lot of young legs in the backcourt. You know, like even Satoransky, it's his second year in the NBA, but he's, you know, like 26. So, you know, when the Wizards face some of those younger guards, they can have big games because they just don't have that speed and athleticism, especially with Wall out.
Yeah, he was getting free a lot, and it was just interesting to see, because I figured they would use him in an on-ball role a little more because he's shorter and more of a point guard, but they had him spotting up quite a bit. And I think that another thing is that he just wasn't in the game plan at all. So they were like, oh, I don't know what to do with this guy, and they just left him a lot. His spot-ups were there. Another funny matchup was Mahinmi versus Al Jefferson, speaking of slow legs.
Yes.
Al played 16 minutes tonight because Turner was in foul trouble, and Mahinmi, revenge game, played 24 minutes and was 4-for-4. So I would say Mahinmi won this battle. What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, it was I was not really expecting that. I mean, Mahinmi's played, you know, better this season than last season. You know, his foul rate is still just kind of ridiculous, but, you know, he's kind of found his niche and he's not playing outside of himself. So, you know, tonight he got a few open opportunities in the lane. I think Al Jefferson might have had something to do with that, but he capitalized on him. And more importantly, when he got those two and one plays, he made them worthwhile, which, you know, he's been a better free throw shooter this season. I don't know if that virtual reality stuff the Wizards bought last year made a difference or not, but you know, it seems to, you know, one way or another, he's shooting better this season. So, you know, it's made him effective enough that, you know, you don't try to dwell on his contract all the time.
He was definitely a $15 million player tonight.
Yes.
Oh, man, what a thing. I imagine when his agent came to the Pacers and said, hey, Washington just offered me 4-for-64, Larry Bird just laughed his ass off.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, man. But he actually looked pretty good today. He did foul out, though. Like you said, he is a foul machine. He only had three in the middle of the fourth quarter, so it was sad that he fouled out. They all came up.
Well, it's like when you have, like, coupons, and you're like, oh, these expire tomorrow. I better just use them.
A couple of them were on Sabonis, who was struggling from the free throw line. But he had another nice game, and I think that the way the Wizards centers defend caters poorly to the short roll, which Sabonis has mastered. And, you know, he was passing pretty well and he was 7-of-12 from the field. And I just think he was the best center in the game tonight.
Yeah. I mean,
hot take, because Gortat was pretty good, but
right. No, I mean, you know, it's just kind of gotten weird with the Wizards centers this year. And just kind of, you know, like I keep telling myself that, you know, Gortat is good and that Mahinmi is tolerable most of the time. But, yeah, man, it's just like there's just so much versatility these days now. And, you know, you see Sabonis. I know it wasn't a great game for Miles Turner, but, like...
Foul trouble, man.
Yeah, but like, you know what Miles Turner can do, and it's like, you know, the Wizards just don't have that, but... But yeah, no, I do think, you know, if I could be critical about Sabonis for a moment, you know, I he did give up a lot of baseline looks to Markieff Morris. Yep. And, you know, and I think that played a, you know, more when Morris can kind of get those baseline jumpers, it's that usually gets him into a better rhythm. And I think that kind of manifested itself throughout the night. And, you know, I think Morris had a really nice night against Thaddeus Young, which usually doesn't happen.
Thaddeus Young was bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, which I wasn't used to seeing. You know, Thaddeus has usually had his way with Markieff and with the Wizards in general.
Even last year.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a pleasant surprise for Washington. But yeah,
We've hit on most people I want to talk about before we get to the fun Oubre and Lance Stevenson little matchup we had. But I did want to touch on another guy who had a revenge game on the Pacers. Bojan Bogdanović, vintage Wizards Bogdanović tonight. He's officially back. You can all tweet at me and say I was wrong for saying he was bad. I will gladly accept your humble apologies. But 29 points, 5-7 from deep. He had a hilarious heat check one that he completely airballed, and Thaddeus Young put back on the make. But he was unstoppable, and it was weird because I was thinking, all right, Porter's not like the fastest guy on D, but Bojan's kind of slow, so he's not going to be able to get super free. And then, okay, we're missing our two best creators. You know, Bojan's not going to have the game I thought, and then he was amazing.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's always, you know, at least, you know, watching him when he was on the Wizards, it he didn't always need a lot of space to do stuff. It's like, you know, certain shooters, there's like a rhyme and reason to which shots they make and which ones they don't. Like, you know, like I felt like, you know, I've kind of, you know, you can kind of get a feel for the pattern of which shots a guy will make on any given night. But like Bogdanović, I never got a feel for it. It was just like, you know, he would have like three open shots in a row and clank all of them. And then he would have like five with a guy right in his face and just drill them like they were nothing. And, you know, this was just one of those ones where he pretty much just made everything. And, you know, on a night like that, you need everything you can get. I think that's a big part of why the Pacers made this a much more competitive game than, you know, people would have thought at the onset, considering Oladipo and Collison were out.
Yeah, and you can tell they didn't have them. Only 19 assists. The Wizards had 29. And yeah, when 19 assists is really bad for a team. Lance led with 6, which you'd expect, but Lance also had 6 turnovers. He was very Lancey, but 6 turnovers in 37 minutes is just kind of bad, not horrible. I'll talk about Ben Moore with Adam tomorrow. I don't expect Jake to know enough about Ben Moore to talk about his minutes. But Lance, I thought him and Oubre were going to get in a fight this game, and I would happily admit I was wrong, but they were cracking me up with their scrappy little fouls and all that in the first half. But Oubre had his way. Oubre is a guy that I would love to have on the Pacers by the end of the season. It's probably impossible. But what did you think of that matchup, since those two guys, you know, are kind of antic-y and both good wing defenders?
Yeah, it's almost like it was like watching Looper. You know, it's like I feel like Lance is everything Kelly Oubre wants to be, but realizes that he probably shouldn't try to do all the Lance stuff, at least in terms of like dribbling. And you know, Lance made some ridiculous moves to get open against Oubre. And, you know, Oubre's kind of got that thing where like he has all the defensive tools. He doesn't always utilize them in the right way, but still, you know, it says a lot about Lance that he was able to create the separation that he did a lot of the time, and you know, create opportunities that seemed like there shouldn't be any opportunities there. But yeah, I mean, that's just kind of like, you know, when you have Oubre and Lance together, it's like two radioactive elements, like, you know, getting closer to each other, and they just start glowing. And you're like, you know, someone needs to step in here before like there's like an international incident here.
Well, I was convinced that I think it was the second quarter. Lance tried to cross over Oubre, didn't really get anywhere. Tried again, didn't get anywhere. Tried again, didn't get anywhere. And then he took one dribble at him and just launched him with his arm and got an offensive foul. And Oubre was clapping on the ground. I was like, oh boy, this is going to be it. But right. It never happened. I was kind of annoyed, actually. I kind of wanted to see it. But
yeah.
The Lance you expect to get in 37 minutes with a green light was the Lance you got. 4-14, 13 points, -7. His defense was fine, but turning over the ball that much and fouling for it. He wasn't what he needed to be in Oladipo's absence. And, you know, maybe if he makes not one of seven from three, they win or are in this game. But it is what it is. But Kelly Oubre was good. Great defender. Didn't shoot great from three tonight, but has been good at that this year. And I talked about it on our trade deadline primer, how I want a 3-and-D guy like Kelly Oubre. And I would love it if you would just send me Kelly Oubre right now, Jake.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. I think in a perfect world, Oubre would be a great trade chip for the Wizards this season, because I do think his perception around the league might be a little higher than what he actually is. And, you know, in that sense, it would be good to kind of cash out on him now before you have to give him that fat extension here, you know, this summer. But at the same time, the Wizards just don't have anything else in the works with their youth. No one else on a rookie contract, unless you count, you know, Satoransky. He does not exist. He is not a person.
It's his birthday. Happy birthday, Chris
McCullough. Happy birthday, Chris McCullough. Well, I think technically,
when they're listening, it's not his birthday anymore. But
right.
For me and you, it's his birthday.
Yeah, and I'm he's not still with the herd. I think he got called back. But it's really, you know, he's the only guy left to develop. Everyone else, you know, there's still some young guys on the team, but they're all on max deals now. So, you know, if you let go of Oubre, you know, you're basically shipping out the only developing player you have left, especially if you try to package him with a first rounder to acquire a center who may turn 30 this summer. So, you know, there's just a lot of reasons why, you know, in a perfect world, he'd be a great trade ship. But in Washington, he's just such an important part of what they already do. You look at, you know, Washington's best lineups, most of them have Oubre, even though I'm not sure I'd go as far as to say he's like one of the five best players on the team. Just his skill set in tandem with what Wall does, what Beal does, what Porter does, you know, that Wall, Beal,
what Oubre, Gortat does, do not forget.
Yeah. But like, you know, whatever fifth guy you put with Wall, Beal, Otto and Oubre is usually a dynamic lineup that is switchable, can hit threes, and just has a lot of mobility. And I just don't think, you know, if you give Oubre up, that you're going to have, you know, a better fourth and fifth option to kind of round that, you know, death lineup to close the games out with. So, you know, unless there's a, you know, Paul George type, at least from the Wizards' perspective, it's not a good trade for them.
So you just said Oubre and a first. I didn't actually listen to this low post Woj yet. Did they say both would have to go to get DeAndre? All right.
Well, no. Here's what it said. I'm going to pull this up because it makes me very mad. and, you know, of course, all the disclaimers. Zach Lowe is a brilliant writer who knows more than I will ever know about anything. But this wasn't actually in the podcast. It was kind of his musings about, you know, where things stand going into the deadline.
It was an article. Okay.
Yeah. And so, okay. Here's the
great content. Here's Jake loads an article.
Yes. I was trying to stretch it out. And of course, you know, Winchester, Virginia internet is what you would expect in terms of speed, quality, and reliability. But, okay. So the Wizards, I'm quoting from the ESPN article. I will keep it under three paragraphs to stay in fair use legalities. The Wizards have investigated the market for Jordan without gaining any traction, sources say. Understandable. DeAndre Jordan is basically Marcin Gortat plus. That's my commentary adding in. But then Lowe writes, a package of Marcin Gortat, Jason Smith, in parentheses, perhaps heading to a third team, Kelly Oubre, and a first-round pick has long been my favorite realistic Jordan package. Oubre is up for an extension after this season. Washington will have trouble paying Oubre, Bradley Beal, John Wall, and Otto Porter.
They'd have no trouble trading paying DeAndre, though, right?
Right. That's the thing. Like in the next paragraph, he says, of course, they'd also have trouble paying Jordan, Beal, Wall, and Porter. I know there's limitations with Oubre, Beal, Wall, and Porter, and Wall's extension isn't looking any better. But you're just basically kicking Gortat down the road for like Gortat at the start of
his deal.
The 5-year deal he signed a few years back. And you're trading his occasional mid-range jumper for a little more athletic finishing of pick and rolls.
Well, if you are interested in Al Jefferson, we will take Mahinmi and Oubre.
I'll get back to you on that.
He expires this summer. You can finally use your mid-level exception.
Well, I can't wait to give Mike Scott the Martell Webster treatment.
Even stretch him next year, baby. I can't wait.
There you go. There you go.
Oh man, the Wizards cap sheet is so sad.
It's not great. It's at least they'll be a tax-paying team.
So. There will be a tax-paying team next year too. The Pacers have exactly $100,000 more in space than Jason Smith's salary. we're not going to figure it out. I don't want him. I don't want him.
Are you sure?
Can you send me every second round pick you owe or you own?
Here's the trick: we don't own any. the 2019 is already dealt. The 2020, technically they can't trade it because it's protected as part of the Jared Dudley trade. The 2021 trade second was sent to Utah as part of the Trey Burke trade. So if you're interested in 2022's second round prospects, we can talk.
The Pacers need more 14-year-olds in the pipeline. So
yes.
That's something to investigate. Oh, dear. Oh, the Wizards are screwed. Okay. But this was – do you have anything else you want to talk about for this game? I like to talk trades with everyone from other teams now because of the time of the year.
Yeah. I just wanted to say Mighty Joe Young was bananas in this game because that's a relevant reference that every listener to this podcast will get.
Okay. I wish that people cared about Ben Moore as much as I do. I'm going to rant. My turn to rant. You got your Kelly Oubre when I get mine.
Yes.
So the Pacers had Alex Poitras on a 2-way contract, and he played pretty well on it and came in during some injuries. They used their 2-ways unlike the Wizards. And they said, all right, good job. You get a full rest-of-season contract. So now he has a rest-of-season guaranteed contract. And then today – lo and behold, they need someone to come in and play these minutes at the backup three, and they go with Ben Moore, and that's fine. Ben Moore's on a 2-way. I like the high-energy guy. I like to get minutes, but why the heck did you even sign Poitras if you're not going to play him in this situation? And he didn't play the whole game. Neither did Leaf. Like, these are the two guys you would want to try at the three at some point if they have a future on the team. Very frustrating. Ben Moore played 6 minutes, was running around like crazy, which is good, but he fouled Kelly Oubre at three because he was doing it, which is bad. Didn't score, didn't shoot, but he wasn't like the worst offense ever. They were only -1 in 6 minutes, so I'll have more on that tomorrow. But I was just very frustrated to see that they didn't even try Poitras or Leaf at the three in a game where they literally had no wing depth besides Bojan and Lance.
So what you're saying is you'd like to see Ben less.
You're fired from guesting ever.
I figured.
Mike Sykes, if you're listening, keep Jake in check so this doesn't happen.
Please, please.
You got anything you want? Yes, you have something you want to promote. I'm sure you do before you get out of here.
Yes. For those of you Indiana fans out there who are like, what are the Wizards up to these days? There's a lovely website for you called bulletsforever.com. There's analysis. There are rants. And occasionally I write things. So if you want to just a deeper look into this, mind that would make jokes about a movie from 1998, check it out.
I agree. It's where the first place I ever wrote an article that people actually read was at Bolts Forever. So
yes,
that was exciting. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Everybody, we'll be back tomorrow for I forget what. I think it's a Pelicans preview. I somehow cannot open the schedule fast enough to figure it out. It'll be Adam and hopefully a guest, but he's really busy with school this week, so maybe no guest. We'll have fun stuff the rest of the week. Only a few games left till the deadline. We'll analyze the Collison injury and Ben Moore stuff later, too. Thanks for listening. Have a great Tuesday, and see you tomorrow.